This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Did you guys hear in the news that the Rangers are projected to win the Stanley Cup this year? And at that, Will Cooley is going to be the recipient of the Hart Trophy?
That's in the news.
No, that was like, it's, that's...
Actually, I heard that
We're
too.
Foreshadowing
is
right
is
now.
Is that news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that I felt that was like the proper way to open, you know, the Will Cooley podcast here. You know, we're so back. Welcome back to the first episode of 5-on-3 for the 2025-2026 NHL season, which doesn't actually start until October, but preseason starts this weekend. So I'm here, Lydia Perner, here with Sophia Smith and Tucker Austin. Sophia, unfortunately, I had to make her the Islanders beat reporter, but she is still loyal to the Rangers.
No,
and
she's on the Jack Warner track.
She's on the
don't worry about it.
She's on the Jack Warner track, but Jack Warner was low-key a Rangers hater, but we don't we don't get that negative energy from her. And then, obviously, Devils, whatever, you know.
Sure, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Brush it off, and then the Devils are going to finish above the Rangers, and I'm going to be laughing at the end of the year.
No way. Luke Hughes is a Vancouver Canuck. Anyways, yeah, we low-key have a lot to talk about. Rangers, let's just start with the Rangers.
Okay.
Because of course.
Because, well, yeah, of course. not, and it's not because I, you know, so, I was, like, very prepared for this episode, and I just knew, like, I could just... talk about like whatever we wanted, but I just figured like I may as well just have the courtesy to like start with the Rangers.
Like, there's so many teams. You know? There's so many teams in the NHL, but like why would you talk about any of them but the Rangers?
That's true. Like we could have talked about like the Buffalo Sabres because this is the year they finally climb out of the basement.
Is that true?
Okay.
No, it's not. Anyways, so Mike Sullivan, new head coach.
Yes.
A lot of good stuff out of the first couple days of practice. Just in terms of vibes are a lot better. Energy seems better. I mean, Sullivan has basically like, Tuck, I don't know if you've been seeing this, but he's like just basically been stopping practice and being like, what are we doing? It is so bleeping slow, like just screaming. Like he was just like astonished by how
I don't hate that, set the tone.
No, I don't hate it at all. And the Rangers like like shirts for the preseason, I think, like has like the like I forget what it is. It's definitely not something that we can like say on air, but I forget.
It's like the letters BS.
Yeah, it's BS with like a big cross through. Yeah. So like the whole point is like they want to be a hard.
We're getting rid of the BS is
and
what you're
I
saying.
I think it came from JT Miller, or like he said that they're not gonna be like they're gonna be in your face and they're not gonna give you an easy night.
The new
like,
captain. By the
way. Yeah, of course.
So new head coach and new captain. Yeah. That's two of the reasons
so
why
changes.
I'm like a little bit higher on the Rangers this year than, I mean, I guess we were kind of high on the Rangers at the start of the year last year, and then
it was a disaster.
It just completely unraveled.
But
they
won the first few games. Like
they
won a streak
started
and then
the
they were
season
so
well.
Yeah,
bad.
They started fine, but the like just the internal locker room hemorrhaging that went on. Like there are bad locker rooms, and then there's the New York Rangers.
It's interesting though
last
that
year.
Now we're like say like JT Miller, like our captain, like our savior, was traded to New York because of the problems in Vancouver in their own locker room.
Yeah, a little problem swap, and then all the problems.
But
go
it's
away.
Like he was the locker room cancer over there, and then he comes
okay,
over
I,
here, and now it's like oh,
this is why like I hate making the Luke Hughes to the Canucks joke because I despise Canucks fans. I think they are so unbelievably stupid. Sorry. I know it's first episode back, but they are so dumb. And there's a couple smart ones out there that are like, yeah, like Pettersson was the problem because he's like just he was so soft about everything. But like JT locker room if you want to call it a locker room cancer, sure. But look, like you need guys that are willing to just come in and set the tone, kind of have the no BS mentality because there was like so much BS around the Rangers last year. Like a year ago today, we were sitting here talking about Barkley Goodrow and like the impression that was going to leave on the team. And I mean, Chris Kreider's departure, obviously, sorry, Sophia, was, I think Mika yesterday, like in quote said, it was expected. Like it's still one of his good friends. So it stings, but when you expect it, it hurts a little less or you're more prepared for it. So I'm hoping like the noise will be gone. But I know we like briefly talked about it over text. What did you think when JT was announced the captain?
I actually was surprised. I didn't know if it was like I don't know. I was just surprised that they announced it now and whatever. I thought it was gonna go to Trocheck just because like yeah. he's. I know JT was here years ago, but like Trocheck has been on this team for a while now and has emerged as sort of a leader. And just like I last season, they obviously didn't have a captain. They didn't have a leader. The locker room was in shambles, as you said. And so I guess having JT Miller come in, who exudes like confidence, and I guess it does make sense. I totally understand why he was chosen. And I'm excited about it.
You think Trocheck got prodigal sonned out of the captaincy because of JT Miller coming back?
Like, maybe, yeah.
It kind of feels like that. Yeah. Like, outside looking in, it kind of looks like that. Because he shows up in the middle of last yeah. year. And he wasn't really part of our debates about who the next captain should be because he had only just gotten back.
I heard some people talking about it, but
I think when did we trade for JT? Like, March. Was it February or March, like a couple weeks before the deadline. And so I think as the season like progressed and the Rangers really fell out of playoff contention, playoff spot, like he kind of rose up and was just the one that you could tell was going to be the next captain. I always thought it was going to be Adam Fox.
Yeah.
Over Trocheck, because I think like Fox is the homegrown player and he is a good leader, but I don't think he's the guy that would yell at his teammates like in the locker room. Like, even you've seen like the clips of Connor McDavid like yelling at his teammates.
But is JT Miller gonna do that? Like,
I think
got back, and like how many guys are still on the Rangers who were there when JT Miller was there the first time?
Yeah, but JT has a good relationship with like half the team.
Yeah,
with Team USA and with Trocheck. Like, Trocheck's his best friend. They grew up together.
Yeah. I think that I struggle with like the Mika stuff, because
Mika stinks.
I think that if he can get back up to his full potential, like that's going to be what's going to carry this team.
What's his potential like?
He was good a few years ago. Like, so good. Like, one of their best players. And then last year had a down year. What do you mean?
I am such a Mika hater. Maybe I'm just a horse with blinders right now. But he cut his hair. He took the Panarin route.
Did he cut his hair?
Yeah, Sophia.
Oh, last year.
No, he cut it like over the summer. He's not bald, but it's like,
okay, yeah.
I always thought like when I would see him playing, like how is he okay with like just having like his hair like?
Wait,
on
but
his
that,
neck?
That's it's awesome. Like, I love that he has it. It's like a staple.
That was kind of
staple
like
Mika.
That was pretty much how I identified Mika Zibanejad when he was
like,
skating.
It's slowing down
his
aerodynamics
number,
on the ice.
But I know that like he had so many mental health issues last year and spoke out about it. And everyone like called him soft, but it's like we asked for these players to speak out and like be what is the word? They like
vulnerable?
Vulnerable. Yeah. Like, we want to see that, and then when it actually happens and like he's like gives a reason for why he's been playing so bad, then it's like, oh, like, okay, he's a crybaby. And I'm like, well, there's such a double standard.
But he never gave a reason for why he was playing bad. He was just like, he always just felt too sorry for himself. That was my problem with
him. I see what you mean. I feel bad for him. And I am also mourning Chris Kreider. And so that's why I have to give him a little legway there. But like I said, I think that if Mika gets on track and like he likes JT Miller, they're going to be playing on a line together. He moved over to wing so he could play with Miller. So I like, if he can reach his full potential, he's going to be the driving force that, like, if he's good, the team's going to be good. And if he's not, then they're just back where they were.
Their season's going to hinge on Igor, I think, because obviously they had the contract negotiations last year, and then, like, first year in the new deal, he doesn't play up to what they would like to see out of Igor. So even though it wasn't, like, he didn't have an atrocious year last year.
No,
but it was
like
a down year for
Igor
Shesterkin.
Yeah. Like, he was having to carry the team last year, in a sense, but, like...
And the defense started to struggle a bit when, like, the whole locker room thing started to unravel, and then the Rangers on the ice started to unravel at the same time. The defense kind of went with it and left Shesterkin on an island.
Yeah.
It should be better this year under a new head coach, maybe just, like... I don't know, like some kind of a new fire, especially because at the end of like the end of Laviolette's tenure really just gets me.
Yeah. It was bad.
When he said to the media he wasn't going in the locker room post game anymore, I was like, oh, it's so over. Yeah.
It was like, well, here's the difference, in my opinion, between like Mike Sullivan and Peter Laviolette. When Lavi was hired, you know, 2 years ago, I feel like as Ranger fans, we weren't that like,
yeah,
we're married to him.
Was just yeah, kinda, he was I just remember like, my dad was like, "This is a terrible
hire."
He
was the safe pick, and I was like a big fan of Chris Knob. No, I still can't say his last name.
Chris Knobloch, yeah,
whatever.
Knobloch,
the Edmonton Oilers head coach. Because I like would go. That was when Cooley was in Hartford, so I would go to Hartford all the time to watch games, and I just was a big fan of him. And then, but you knew that, you know, the Rangers have to go for the big name coach.
Yeah.
So they went with Laviolette, and I think that, you know, the success that they had in 2023-2024 wasn't necessarily like cuz of coaching. I think like just losing to the Devils the year before was such like a mm-hmm. sour taste that they like knew they had to get back there. But you kind of saw like once Paul Maurice started, you know, playing chess.
Paul Maurice.
Yeah. I honestly do too, but Laviolette couldn't do anything, and then he lost the locker room.
Like Paul Maurice, but cannot stand his Panthers.
Oh, I yeah. love
I, like,
no,
cannot
I love
stand the Florida Panthers
I, yeah,
at
I'm
all.
With you.
And the Hurricanes right along with them.
Oh, yeah. I don't like
the both of them. The Hurricanes are like, I like to call them the Florida Panthers with training wheels.
I mean, I like Rod the Bod, though. He's a good coach.
Yeah. I like him.
What? I mean, I'm just saying the nickname, all right? I think, like, I was super, obviously super excited for Mike Sullivan's hiring. I think it's, like, one of the biggest coaching contracts in the NHL.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Might be, like, the biggest. Like, they Rangers paid a lot of money for this. But I just think, like, he's a recent, like, Stanley Cup winner. He's the coach of the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
And Team USA, you know, the Four Nations last year. This guy is just so respected that I hope the players will buy in more.
He is the highest paid AAV head coach in NHL history.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
$6.5 million a year.
It
for
took
Mike
a lot
Sullivan.
Of. I think it took like a lot of money to get him here because part of the thing Boston, the Bruins need a new coach this offseason, if I'm not mistaken, and or maybe they just are still riding with the interim, but anyways, I just remember like hearing that Boston wanted to put in a bid for him because Charlie McAvoy's wife
Marco Sturm. He got hired in June.
Yeah. So Charlie McAvoy's wife is Mike Sullivan's daughter.
Interesting.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like we thought there was gonna be a push there that could have potentially taken Sullivan from the Rangers.
My other biggest note for the Rangers outside of Shesterkin though is Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it like not just because he's been pretty much like the leading scorer on the team for the last like 2-3 years.
He was the only like player worth watching last year.
Effectively.
And Cooley.
Does he have his hair back? I think he does.
Yeah, he does.
He has his hair back.
Looks good.
So not like no longer skinhead Panarin, which might
crazy.
Be a good thing,
that
might be a bad
crazy.
Thing, who knows. But I think it is going to be a good thing for the Rangers that it's the last year of Artemi Panarin's contract.
Yeah.
He's a UFA next year.
Yeah.
Which means he's probably going to be playing really hard this year to prove that he deserves money either with the Rangers or somewhere else after this season. Who knows with the Rangers at this point because of the fire sale that happened last year. Mm-hmm. It sort of seems like a last trial run here.
Yeah, the window's closing.
Oh, 100%, especially on Panarin. Like, the clock is ticking. And if the Rangers, say, like, even if they make the playoffs this year, if they're like a first-round exit, second-round exit, I'd think Panarin probably walks.
I think
they missed the playoffs.
I think Panarin's retiring a Ranger. I really do.
Oh, really?
They got to have like real. I probably need an Eastern Conference final
for Panarin to get re-extended?
Come back. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
But why would he stay if there's no like clear future success?
True.
You know what? Like, if they do make the playoffs, that's a step up. So really, like, maybe if it's a second round exit, he might think about coming back. But it's a big hypothetical. Because we got to see where the Rangers land by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And kind of see, like, we'll see what they do at the deadline, too. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of a position they're in. Because, like, if they're staring down the end of a very dark tunnel, Panarin might just, like, throw it in, score 100 points, and then leave.
Here's the thing. I think the Rangers still have, like, quite a good roster.
But, yeah, I do, too.
Like, we don't know what the lines are going to look like with Sullivan because he's been it's obviously so early mm-hmm. so you can't tell what he's going to piece together. But if you think of like the Rangers top six, it's probably going to be Miller, Mika, Cooley, and then Laff, Trocheck, Panarin. And I don't know, that's a pretty darn good top six still.
And then they have Fox and Gavrikov.
Fox and we haven't even talked about Gavrikov, who I think Trocheck like a couple days ago was like, you guys haven't seen him much, but this guy's like the real deal. So as long as he's not just like Kevin Shattenkirk 2.0, I think that's like a real good move on defense. I like Will Borgen. I think he's a good player. He's playing with I think he's actually gonna be probably put with Carson Soucy this year, which that could be a little bit of a but they were supposedly teammates or line mates partners somewhere else. So
is Matt Rempe playing a full season in the show this year?
Didn't he play a full season last year?
I don't think he was up the whole time, was
he? Yeah, he got sent down for like a couple games.
It depends what his contract is. I'm not sure if he has a two-way anymore or if he's like graduated from the two-way.
I think he didn't get
it. It feels like he's been here
for
a little while.
This year. I don't know. I just that brings up a good point. The Rangers bottom six.
It's not.
It's not great.
It's like bottom 10 in the league.
I think Sam Carrick's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, I like Sam Carrick.
I like Sam Carrick. I'm intrigued to see what Adam Enstrom will do because he did get hurt.
I really like Adam Enstrom.
He did get hurt, and I liked that line with Carrick, Enstrom, and Rempe. And Rempe put on 12 pounds this offseason.
I like two out of three of those players.
Well, I know you don't like Matt Rempe because he's the Devil's daddy.
Well, no, also because he can't do anything but just skate around and be large. No. That's the only thing he does.
Wait, how tall is he?
He's 6'8".
No, he's not.
I think he's 6'8".
Oh, is he 6'8"? 6'8".
I think he's 6'8".
He's not Aaron Judge's height.
My
the polo fragrance is really funny now. It aged like fine wine.
6'9". All right.
Oh, okay.
Really?
It's such a joke of the past. It's like we're
So my biggest thing with the Rangers is just like with Mike Sullivan and with JT Miller, I want the mentality to be like, do not give up during games.
That's the thing.
Last year, they would never. You give up one goal or two goals, and the game's over. Like they're not coming
one
back.
One goal and the game was over.
No, I
one
know.
Goal.
But it was like the year before that, they had the most comeback wins in the whole league, and then last year just completely give up.
The first comeback win they had. Last
it was the
season
last game
was
of
against
the season.
The Florida Panthers, and it was like the last road game of the season, and the Panthers like did not give.
They didn't care.
They did not care.
They didn't care anymore.
So annoying.
And I was like poor Sam Rosen, man. But was tough. That was.
Oh my God.
That's a tough year to call it. That's a tough year to hang
him
up.
He's going crazy. It's like Rangers comeback win.
You know, the Devils lost their play-by-play guy too, but in less sad and I guess like respectful circumstances. Maybe not less respectful circumstances, but like everybody's giving their flowers to Sam Rosen, right?
Yeah.
Bill Spalding's just out. For the Devils. He's just gone.
I can't believe
I don't
Joe
know what he's
too.
Doing
yeah,
now. But guess who's calling play-by-play for the Devils this year? Don LaGreca.
Oh, wait. I think I actually saw that. I like Don.
Huge. Yeah. Huge for the program. Kinda. Don LaGreca, his puck takes on the Michael Kay show back when it was still like on Yes Network and on ESPN Radio. I would live for Don LaGreca puck
guy?
Talk. I think so, yeah. I think he may have worked.
Because he did obviously ESPN New York Radio for the Rangers for a while.
Yeah, and I think he also has called a game or two for the Islanders. I think he also may have worked for the Devils at some point in his career earlier on.
He's
but
all over the place.
He's back,
you realize
and he's angry.
The hockey industry is, like, so small.
It is.
Like,
yeah. It is
like
small.
Larry Brooks was, like, the PR guy for the Devils for years.
Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah,
he's been all over the metro
been, like,
area.
Every single, like, team. Yeah. Hockey's like it's an insanely small world.
Also the Rangers jerseys that came
yes
out
the
yesterday.
Centennial
so
jerseys
clean.
I
They're
love
really
them
nice. Yeah.
So I don't clean. Understand the hate for them at
no,
all
I don't
it's
understand.
Very
just
obviously
like, you're just hating to hate.
It's
yeah.
clearly the old logo it's a Centennial jersey so it
color.
Throws it back like look at what the Bruins did with their Centennial they threw it back to the old logo and it's just it's the color from the old logo which I like it's the block lettering huge fan of block lettering though like those at Fordham know I am a massive fan of block letters
rip
I love these uniforms and especially like they're not even gonna wear them like the whole season I think
I
they
know.
Should I think it would be cool if they wore
yeah,
them the whole
cool.
season
did the Bruins wear them the whole season last
I
year?
Think they did
I think they did as well
I can't wait to see them on the ice I think they're gonna look,
I think they're gonna look
really
good.
Good but I
they might change the logo too if they change the center ice logo to that blue
I think they changed it to I don't know if they changed it to that blue but it's like it has the
As long as they keep it like logo. Keep it nice and mixed up. Like you throw in the current jersey, throw in the centennial, keep throwing in that navy jersey with the Lady Liberty on the front if you can. Yeah. When you can get it in there, because that one's really awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk all day about the Rangers uniforms.
Well,
they're getting the Winter Classic jerseys. And when you texted me that you already bought an Igor jersey, I was like, wait, like I'm also gonna need a Winter Classic jersey.
Yeah, I'm gonna
and
get JT's my Winter Classic jersey.
I am gonna be broke. So
yeah, thank God. Thank God for a J.
Oh, they are. So they're getting a new Winter Classic jersey.
I'm so excited for those.
Interesting.
And I'm so excited for that game.
That's going to be a weird one. How are they going to keep the ice frozen?
I think they're going to have the roof closed, no?
Yeah, it's the Lone Depot Park. It's
right, it's the Marlins. Yeah.
It's like the back of the
stadium.
Which
kind of defeats the whole purpose, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's Marlins baseball. It's weird.
Yeah.
I went to a Marlins game one time.
Why?
I think I did too when I was like 8.
You and the 3 other people?
Yeah, actually. shout out Brian Anderson. I have a Marlins Brian Anderson bobblehead. Shout out. It was fun, though. That's going to be a really fun game.
Yeah.
The Rangers are undefeated in outdoor games, so maybe.
I hope that came through. I really hope that came through on the audio.
Maybe. We just play every game outside.
Exactly. Hopefully. I
was thinking, like, why have the Rangers never played
Madison
a game
Square
like
Garden
at
doesn't
Rockefeller
need a roof.
Center?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Could they even fit a regulation rink in
Who
there?
Who knows? We'll figure it out. I'll figure it out on my lunch break next week.
Standing room only, and no traffic can move around Rockefeller Center for 3 hours. Because it's the same fans as the Knick fans who like take over 7th Avenue.
Yeah, we're
so
phenomenal
they'll just
fans.
Take
a
over the entire street. Yeah. Oh, there's great fans in Newark.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Please, where?
They're all over the place. You just gotta look.
I've been looking.
Oh, no, you haven't.
I've met you and Mr. Burley, and that's about it.
Yeah, but you met us both here.
Yeah,
you didn't go to Newark.
I've been in this tri-state area for 3 years now, and I've met 2 Devils fans.
But that's like been almost exclusively in New York, though.
My dad is from New Jersey, and he's a Rangers fan.
Yeah,
so.
Good man.
Yeah.
That's what happens in New Jersey sometimes. There's
exactly.
a lot of whole
because a lot of people
New
from
York
New Jersey make
huge.
The right choice.
New
Some
York,
people make the wrong choice.
First of all, the only right choice in New Jersey is to support the home state team.
The
and
only
the
right
New
choice
Jersey,
in New Jersey is to
New
get
Jersey
on the New Jersey Transit and leave the state.
We had more teams before. We have one team left in our state. It's the New Jersey Devils, and I will die for my country, New Jersey Devils.
I will gift you the Giants and Jets as well.
New
Jersey Jets goes hard.
Because the issue is, like, it's really weird, because the Giants have a really storied history. This is not an NFL podcast.
It's okay, but Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. So
either way, I have seen the Jets are more likely to become Jersey because of the Jays.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
The alliteration.
New York Jets sounds weird anyway.
But Long Island would be very angry. They would be very... That one.
Yeah, but she's not even from Long Island, so.
Shout out Grace McCarron behind the board, our resident Islanders rep.
Yeah, Grace is our producer. Sorry. A little washed over here. We're getting back.
Right, back in the swing. We are so back.
Yeah. It's like riding a bike. Like.
Anyway, the Rangers are a wild card team.
I kind of think they're higher.
It's like, it is so hard to tell.
I know, it's hard to tell.
Because the thing is,
I think the Metro is a bit too loaded to have the Rangers really
squeak
through.
The Blue Jackets are a big question mark to
me. Yeah, me too.
They were a good
for
team.
Sure.
They were scary last season.
Yeah, like you could probably award them like some kind of a dark horse look.
I'm also
in the
kind
East.
Of, I'm a little
not
bit
that high,
curious about the Flyers.
I'm not.
I am.
Matvei Michkov.
They have they have Michkov, and then they have Zegras. They have Rick Tocchet, like. I don't know.
I don't think Rick Tocchet's anything.
I'm curious.
Yeah,
Blue Jackets lines.
For me, I'm not with the Blue Jackets this
really?
Year. Like they had a weird end of the season last year. I think they have like a 6-game winning streak carrying back to last year. Mm-hmm. But that still didn't get them in the playoffs, and so that tells you right there the kind of full season that the Blue Jackets had. I don't see it out of them. For me, like the Rangers, obviously one of the wild card teams, and I think it's the Sens. The Sens are the other wild card team, and they're gonna ride the success of Linus Ullmark, I think. I don't want to dive in on predictions here before we talk about the two other Metro teams.
Oh, he just wants to talk about the Devils. Yeah. So back to the Rangers.
thought you were gonna go to the Islanders.
No, the Islanders. Sophie, are you okay with us doing the Islanders last?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
you have to ask permission.
Yeah. Well,
it's your show.
No, no, yeah, it's out. It's our show. As you can see, I'm just having a great day today. Like, my brain
it's fun.
Function
it,
is...
It's fun. It's preseason. It's the first episode back. We're having a great time.
Yeah. We, like the players, they... We didn't have a preseason here. This is preseason
this is
for
preseason.
Us. Yeah. Wiping off the rust. Mm. Oh, I forgot about the Capitals. Sorry. I'm just, like, looking at the standings
I know,
and thinking out loud.
Because
they were a heck of a team last year.
They were. They were pretty nuts
did
last
they
year.
Win the
won the Metro.
Yeah.
What?
111
so
points.
Random. Like,
yeah.
Who would have thought?
That's because Ovechkin played insane,
I know,
and the
yeah.
entire team
oh,
fed
yeah.
off it. And that's why I think they're making the playoffs again this year, because Ovechkin is still playing, and he could probably play till he's 50
yeah.
if he wants. But, like, will he play till he's 50? I don't know. Maybe. He's an absolute
wait.
Machine.
Unrelated to Alex Ovechkin, did you guys see Andrei Kopitar is retiring after this season?
Yes,
we
that's like one
that.
Of the big
yeah.
one of the big NHL stories
I was
going
surprised
on right now.
I wasn't surprised by that, but I was like,
that's actually a reason why I think the Kings are gonna like
yeah, know,
use that as an impetus
yeah.
for like a last ride run.
Yeah,
I think they go to the playoffs like
well,
comfortably.
The last Kings game I went to was a Kings Devils game. So maybe that's
why?
Our segue.
Don't go to Kings Devils games. They don't end well for
the
home team.
No, the Devils actually won that game.
No
Palmer.
Shot.
Yeah.
Wait, I was
we,
there for
we,
that.
We saw you. Yeah.
That was like maybe, I think the Devils played the Kings like maybe two or three
it
times
was like,
last
it,
year.
It was, I want to say they like played in really close, like, actually I don't quite remember.
The Devils had a lead in the third period, I'm pretty sure. It was like 3-2 in the second intermission.
Yeah, I feel like it was like a fairly close
And then
game.
I predicted that the Kings were going to score twice in the fourth, and I don't
yeah.
think they did. But
yeah.
it like is what it is.
Anyways, so the Rangers obviously will finish first in the Metro. Last year, they had a 39-36-7 record. But last year, the Devils had a 42-33-7 record with 91 points. They won't hit that this year.
And they started 16-9-2.
The Devils, honestly.
Just stay healthy.
That's the
please.
Thing.
If just stay on the ice. That's
been,
all they have to do.
We've been saying this like for years or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
because
the Devils
every
aren't
year
be the
they get hurt.
Year, but then every year they get hurt. I mean,
I did, like, just stay healthy.
Just
it,
like you got
fine.
A bubble wrap, Jack Hughes.
Stay healthy. No more Christmas break. We're done. Christmas break
I
is
forgot.
Banned.
Do you remember how bad they were out of the
Christmas? Christmas break is officially banned.
Well, you know what
in the state of New Jersey.
You guys, like,
they are not leaving the gym.
Destroyed us the game before Christmas.
Yeah, because
like,
they were rolling before Christmas. Then they got they took like
and
I don't know
Sam
how long it was.
Sam Carrick
like,
scored the OT winner.
Four
or
five
out,
days off.
Coming
come
out
back.
Of
yeah,
yeah. And I was in Disney World and I was watching it on my phone and I was like,
yeah,
oh
we were
God.
Like, yeah, Sam Carrick owns the New Jersey Devils.
They just completely forgot how to play hockey after like out
yeah,
of the break
that was bad.
And then Jack Hughes goes down for like a month and a half and
oh
then, like
yeah, the injuries
then the first guy they look to after Jack Hughes to like do something was
Timo
Meier
yeah.
who like I wrote this in my notes
still
today.
Has not lived up to the
this isn't the Timo Meier I ordered
yeah
I almost want to send it back. This is not the Timo Meier.
You got the Timo from Timo.
Timu Meier. Yeah, yeah it's literally it's like this. It is so baffling. Like every year, I go back.
Yeah.
I look at his stats when he was in San Jose. It was pretty good.
He was. That was.
He
I remember
he
that trade.
Out
I was like,
yeah.
shoot. Like
I know. Me
that's
too.
Gonna put the Devils. On
he
his
capped
top.
Out at 76 points in 77 games played in 2021-22 for the Sharks. That was the year before he got traded to the Devils. Then. The year he got traded to the Devils, he had 52 points in 57 games for the Sharks and then came over to New Jersey, scored 14 and 21.
He was young when he first came over. I mean, it's only been like 3 years.
Relatively. He entered the league in 2016, so this is year 10, I think, for him now.
Never mind then.
Yeah, 9 or 10.
He's unk.
Yeah, pretty much at this point, but that means he should be producing and doing something, not scoring 50 points a season in a full slate of games for the Devils. That's 2 years in a row now, 23-24.
Well, cool, he had that total last year.
He had
year.
52 points in 69 games, and last year he had 53 points in 80 games. So one more point last year than the year before, and 11 more games. That's
he's making
just
a lot
not,
of money, right? Is he at
yes,
$8 million?
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what it is, but he is making a lot of money. Enough money that I can sit here and say, why are they paying you that much? Because mm-hmm. you're not producing the amount that they want you to. Timo Meier should theoretically be battling for like the lead scorer on the Devils any given year.
He's got a cap hit of 8.8.
Yeah. That's so ridiculous. I know it's like
wait, I have a trade proposal. I have the first trade proposal of 5-on-3.
The Rangers
year.
Are not getting Timo Meier.
Timo Meier for Mika Zibanejad.
No.
No.
All right.
Mika Zibanejad is a head case.
Timo Meier had like 50 something points in 80 games last year.
I would rather have that than a head case.
You would rather have Will Cooley year on your team.
Maybe.
Oh, he was going to say yes.
Maybe.
Have him. He's ours.
Oh, sure. Then you can't have Timo Meier then.
He had 62 points last year.
Timo Meier?
No, Mika.
Mika.
So, like, that's like a theoretical good trade until Mika goes to the Devils, plays the Rangers four times a year, and then gets really sad about it, and then scores, like, 30 points a season because he's like, I want to be a Ranger.
30, no, all 30 points will come from the game against the Rangers. Like, for some reason, there's, like, the curse.
I was thinking about Keandre Miller.
Oh, I forgot.
Play the Rangers and score like four goals a game, and
that was neat.
Big turnaround for Timo Meier, though. Like in the numbers between the 23-24 season and the 24-25 season, when he scored 52 points in 69 for the Devils 2 years ago, it was at a negative 28 plus minus. Last year, he had a plus 7.
I actually believe in the plus minus stats.
I love plus minus.
When is that drastic of a range?
Yeah.
Plus minus, it was a minus bad. 22, but it was like even worse.
It was
than
bad.
That.
Thing
oh,
is,
yeah.
he was on the
so
like,
bad.
But that's like that's one of the ways that plus minus can be like misleading because Mika Zibanejad was just like on the ice constantly.
Yeah,
but
sometimes it can be misleading if like you're a good player, but you're also a penalty killer and you're like a minus 5 or something.
Yeah,
but when you are like a minus 22, like that means like 22 more times you were like not on the ice than you were on the ice for a goal.
Yeah.
Like that's
and
bad.
23-24, Timo Meier did not sniff the kill and was on power play unit 1 and had a negative 28.
That's bad.
That's a problem.
That's bad.
That's
at
a
least
serious
Mika kills
issue.
Penalties. Yeah.
But then last year he goes positive, and so I was like, okay, this and in 3 minutes more average ice time too. So like he was spending more time on the ice, but less goals were going in while he was on the ice. Problem is,
so
not enough goals were going in from him while he was on the ice. So that
away,
needs to
though.
Happen a bit more.
Do you think?
Here or there.
Yeah.
Like,
what's
because you remember? Do you remember
the
score the puck? At this point
put
for him, it's put it in the net.
Puck in the net.
Because he's like, oh my, like during the Carolina series last postseason, if you remember, there were a couple of times, especially in the game where the Devils go up 3-0 in the first period. I think it was the last game in the series, game 5.
Is that when like both Jack and Luke went down as well? Or?
No, that was earlier.
It was like game 2.
What's gonna happen with Luke Hughes?
Cody Glass got slashed by Markstrom. Like it was a nightmare. It was
just
a nightmare.
Things were not
series.
Going well down in Raleigh for the
Devils. That was when Luke
Devils.
Hughes crashed into the board and like
there
limp,
was that photo
limps
of
off
them
the ice. They both walk off because Cody Glass, like Markstrom, got really angry
and like
swings his stick,
oh
just slashes Cody Glass right across like his whole body. He falls immediately.
Oh, God.
But
that photo's like the Devils season.
So that moment made me realize the Devils were not looking at a good outcome against the Carolina Hurricanes last year. But I still, like, Timo Meier had so many opportunities in that series where he is like, there's nobody in front of him. It's just him and the Tendy, and he couldn't hit the side of a barn. He's he's throwing warm-up shots off the glass from like 5 feet away. I'm like, what are you doing,
Timo? There's no goalie
Timo?
In that goal. He still went up.
Please, I'm talking like he's mid slide from the right post to the left post. Timo Meier's on the left with a wide open net and a lefty, by the way. So this is an easy shot for him, and he fans the entire net. What are we doing? These were the goals that like I would be like standing up off my chair, being like, "Timo's about to score."
That's the shot you
there
practice in like your driveway.
The Rangers
driveway.
Would do that too, though. Last
oh,
year, it was like every
year,
single breakaway.
If there wasn't Glass
zero
at NHL
goals.
Games, Timo Meier would be the reason that Glass is like brought into NHL arenas. That's how often his shots go off the glass.
I mean, the Rangers didn't shoot last year. They had one game where they had 12 shots on goal, and one game where they had 13 shots on goal.
Either way,
and like,
Mika, I just need
Mika
more.
Mika would
out of Timo.
Get a breakaway, and the puck would go all the way over there, and nowhere near the net.
New arrivals in Newark, some international arrivals as well. Arseny Gritsyuk, he scored a filthy goal today, apparently, to open like all of the scoring at Devils training camp. Like,
let's go.
All of the journalists on Twitter for the Devils today were going like, I wish I was recording. This was the filthiest goal I've seen in a while. And they were actually like losing their minds about Arseny Gritsyuk, which take it with a grain of salt because Devils media tends to do things to the fan base that makes the fans a little bit crazy. So like, sure, he scored a goal. It was a good one. I gotta see the Schneipen game. Like, we will see. Connor Brown. Also here
Connor
now.
Brown was a good pickup.
Excellent bottom six guy. The Devils knew, Tom Fitzgerald knew exactly what the objective was this offseason. It was to improve the bottom six. No, like, huge splash moves.
No,
but just
like the Connor Brown move
get the depth under control and it'll be okay. The fact that Andre Palat is is no longer a top two lines guy, very good. I like, since last year, I've been saying he needs to be on the fourth line. He's listed on the third now with Cody Glass and Connor Brown, which I don't hate. Because Connor Brown and Cody Glass are pretty quick. They can move around. Andre Palat can still do the thing he always does, which is go stand in the corner and wait for the puck to come to you and then spit it out again. Top two lines are really, really good. Top two lines are awesome. Dadanov, Hughes, and Bratt from left to right on the top. And then Timo, Nico Hischier, and Dawson Mercer on the second line. Only issue with that is clearly it's Dawson Mercer. Yeah. There's like no other way to there is no other way to slice that. Devils fans have had an issue with Dawson Mercer for like the last two seasons now. Even though, like, it's another one of those situations where he's not playing that bad, kind of like Timo Meier. Yeah. He's not playing awful. But they expect more out of him,
it's
especially
because like
Mercer. I believe he was a first-round pick a few years ago.
He was like,
and
they
they've really been
him.
Sticking to him. Yeah. He's played 328 straight NHL games, and begs the question: should he have that Iron Man streak? I don't know if he should, because like, I don't know. There's been runs where he's been really, really quiet, and maybe could have used a day just sitting there and watching
it's like
the game happen.
Volpe sitting now.
It is. It's like it's a very similar situation to the Volpe situation for the Yankees.
Figure out a fake injury. His toenail
except
hurting him.
Dawson Mercer can't make like errors. I guess technically he can make errors, but they don't go in the score sheet.
Yeah.
Mercer should be
the second you see Dawson Mercer take like a delay of game penalty, you'll just be like, that's Anthony Volpe reincarnated.
Mercer is just an interesting case, especially because like Arseny Gritsyuk plays on the right side.
Yeah.
So does Dawson Mercer. Mm-hmm. If Gritsyuk, who's been in the KHL for a couple of years now, has been developing, has shown off really good talent, he could easily sneak into the top two lines at training camp and bump Mercer out. And to that point also, I kind of like Mercer in a bottom six role. Mm-hmm. He's definitely works as a depth guy. And if he breaks out randomly this year, then he's a really excellent guy to have on the third or the fourth line.
I also don't see an issue with, like, a guy like Connor Brown, like, moving him into a top six role. I mean, that's
not the purpose
of having him.
No,
but he's, a versatile player that's like, oh, if you need to send a message to Mercer,
the biggest thing, and
too.
We talked about it at the top of the Devils talk, like, it's the injuries.
Yeah,
like,
that's
part of the reason why the depth was improved in the offseason was because if guys go down, we're not filling with, like, complete nonsense. Like, we can actually refill the ranks now with guys like Connor Brown.
Yeah.
Or like Gritsyuk when he gets bumped up. Like Dawson Mercer if he needs to get bumped up. I'm not even that mad about, like, Andre Palat getting a rep on the second line if somebody gets injured.
I always thought Palat was going to be a really good Devil, because I remember the Devils signed him right after
it's been a slow decline.
Knocked us out in 2022. And he, like, owned Igor.
Yeah,
I remember. You don't forget some things.
Defensively, it's going to be interesting for the Devils because it felt like they were very overloaded last year, especially with the guys who were like knocking at the door trying to come up last year between Nemitz and Casey, LeChance. There's a lot of guys that the Devils were trying to keep relatively Santeri Hitaka before, I think he's gone now. But still, they had so many defensemen in the system who were ready to come up like really, really soon. But they just couldn't really find space for him. You had guys complaining about like their existence within the organization because it wasn't like a clear path to a starting role in the NHL. You have Siegenthaler and Hamilton at the top. That hasn't changed in 3-4 years now.
Let's run back Brendan Dillon
five.
And Dougie Hamilton.
That was a thing for a bit, but
wasn't
then Dougie got hurt again.
Who was Dillon on the pair with that was like just god awful?
I think it was Hamilton before he got injured.
Like,
he just wasn't shooting.
There would be like a weekly Burley rant where it's like, you gotta separate them.
Yeah,
because
like,
come on, Sheldon.
When they're both on the same line, they both go like hyper defense, and then neither of them shoot. Even though Dylan's shot is okay, Dougie Hamilton's shot is lethal, but he just refuses to actually let it go.
Yeah.
I spent the offseason mentally preparing for Hamilton to not be on this opening day roster.
Yeah, well, let's
and there's
ask
still,
about
there's
Luke
still
Hughes.
Technically time for that, but yeah, we should talk about Luke Hughes.
What,
the big question
everyone's
asking, where is Tom Fitzgerald hiding Luke Hughes? Because he's got to be somewhere. I bet he's in the Prudential Center, and they're just keeping him in a closet until they get done with the contract.
Like, honestly, I doubt they let him talk
to anybody.
There's zero reason Luke Hughes would want to leave the Devils, and there's zero reason
he doesn't
want
to. Like, all the reports have been saying that the two sides are in conversation with each other. It's not going poorly, and they both are interested in a long-term deal.
The big problem is that's what we've been hearing for months.
Yes, but more recently it's developed into a... Like, at first it was like, okay, the Devils want him for, like, 7 or 8 years, but Luke Hughes wants to line up his free agency with Jack so that they can both do pretty much the same thing. And for that to be the case, it would have to be a 5-year contract for Luke, so it would line up with Jack.
Yeah.
But now, Devils journalists have been reporting that, like, Luke is not really in, like, he doesn't have, like, a 5-year deal as his sort of idea anymore, or if it ever was an idea for him. It seems like both sides are now locked in more on something longer than 5. Probably something longer than 6 as well. Tom Fitzgerald wants Luke Hughes in black and red for a long time.
Why wouldn't you?
And I don't really... Yeah, exactly. And to that extent, I don't think Luke Hughes really wants to leave either, because he's had a pretty solid time in New Jersey so far.
That's the thing. I'm not sure I buy the whole... The brothers want to stick together forever.
Well,
like
Jack said it a few weeks ago. Like he was like, I want to play with my other brother.
But like you're not gonna say I don't want to play with my brother. Like
maybe. I mean,
I don't think
maybe you want to say you want to play against him.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a world where all three of them are on the same team. Like I don't think that should be as big of a weighing factor.
Just wait.
As it is.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait for Vancouver's inevitable collapse and Quinn Hughes wants out.
Vancouver collapses every year, but
the
so do
second,
the, Devils.
The second that once this Luke Hughes deal is done, the second that Vancouver even hints at shopping Quinn Hughes, or Quinn Hughes even hints at wanting to leave,
what's
Tom Fitzgerald is going to be on the phone. He's going to be on the phone immediately.
I feel like the Devils asking price
the devil,
is going to be more.
The
though.
Devils are going to well, sure, it might be. It might not be to the Canucks' liking, but I can at least say that the Devils are going to be the first team on the phone about Quinn Hughes.
I'm just, curious. I feel like Quinn Hughes hasn't really said much about this. I feel like he doesn't want to leave Vancouver.
Yeah. It's I feel like you hear more from Jack.
Yeah,
the most from
what
Jack.
I'm saying.
I feel like I haven't heard a ton from Luke, and I haven't heard a ton from Quinn.
That's why I don't know.
No, nobody's
I
heard
can't...
from Luke in months
well,
because,
yeah.
like,
because
when the Devils... when the Devils,
hiding him.
Yeah, when the Devils don't have a player signed, they go into the witness protection program.
Yeah.
I just... I don't know. For some reason, in my head, I see Jack going to Vancouver more than I see Quinn going to Jersey.
I do, too. But maybe we're just haters.
Yeah.
I think we are. No, but I agree with you.
It's
2-1 here, so.
Maybe it's just because, I don't know. Quinn Hughes is the captain of that team. And, in my head, there's not really another Vancouver Canuck who, is the face of the team. Whereas the Devils, I know, it's Jack, but they also have all these other guys that just seem like, I don't know. It just seems like Jack is less important to the Devils at this point than Quinn is to the Canucks.
I agree with that statement. I don't know if you agree with that, Tucker, but
I don't know.
Because
I think the Devils are a good team.
The thing
I think
is
the
Quinn
Canucks
is it like yes,
yeah.
Quinn's the captain, but Quinn is also a defender. He's a
it's
high
Quinn
scoring.
And Demko. That's
he's a high
the
scoring
big
defender.
Thing.
True. Yeah. It's Quinn and Demko, but Quinn Hughes is a very high scoring defender, and he provides that for the Canucks. And he's the captain, so he also provides that role for the Canucks. I guess in those two regards, it's like he provides two things for the Vancouver Canucks, and Jack Hughes really only provides one thing for them, and it's
scoring
just
and
scoring.
Tripping on the ice.
Yeah, scoring and not knowing how to skate.
Yeah.
So actually, Jack Hughes does provide
two things,
but one of those is not as good as
Lucky
owning
the Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's calm down
and Nico Hischier, have you seen Nico Hischier? He came back ripped.
Really?
That's Matt Rempe gained 12 pounds this offseason of muscle.
Nico
Watch
Hischier.
Out. Watch out, Nico.
Nico Hischier was angry.
Cut his hair?
Do you
Berard
remember,
shaved his head,
yeah.
sorry.
Do you, I don't know, do you remember why Nico Hischier is so angry? It's because, what happened to the Swiss team
they lost
against Team USA.
Oh, I thought you were saying because they lost to... Oh, wait, no, USA won.
Yeah.
Tage Thompson.
They beat...
I was about to say they lost to Canada. Nope, Canada lost in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, the Team USA beat the Swiss, and
Hischier
was broken. He was broken
really?
Over that, because he was the captain of that Swiss team, and
that Swiss team was the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, the New Jersey Devils in Europe. It was great.
Europe,
except it was great until they lost, but when Hischier's the captain of a team, when he takes a loss, he takes it hard. And
I like
Heisher. It's on him.
I have nothing against Nico Heisher.
He's a great captain, and he's a great player. I expect a, like, angry vengeance season out of him this year. It's going to be really good to see what he can do. I like that they kept they're keeping peanut butter and jelly together. That's always good. And keeping the Swiss pair. As long as Meyer and Heisher are on the same line and Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt are on the same line, I really don't care who plays right wing for the second and left wing for the first. As long as those two pairs are together, like, just don't split them up. There's no universe where Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt need to not be on the same line.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Sorry, I'm just looking on the map where in Switzerland Nico Heisher is from. So I went to Switzerland this summer, so I just want to see if I like my near. Never mind. Sorry.
It looks like
A-host duties.
It looks like Dylan is probably going to play with Nemitz this year.
What do you think about Sivo Nemitz?
I like him.
Okay.
I like him. I thought his rookie year.
The Devils have not been fair to him.
He was rough around the edges his rookie year, but last year, massive improvement.
All right, yeah.
Massive improvement, especially defensively. He looked a lot more like a professional hockey defender and not like a rookie. Naturally. But like, this is a good progression that you want to see out of a young guy like this. And I mean, I don't know how you can't keep him out of the lineup now.
No.
You score an OT winner
in
the offs. Like, come on. Yeah. You cannot keep him out. You can't keep him off this roster. So he's gonna play third line defense.
He hit the Chris Paul shot.
He did. He did. Except he won the game. But yeah,
did that put
it
the series 1-1, or was that like 3-0?
It may have been 3-1, because it was a home game. It was a rough series. This is why I don't like the Hurricanes, because they keep doing this over and over again, and I'm done with it.
Well, you know who knows how to beat the Hurricanes in the playoffs?
The Rangers. The
Rangers do.
Just
the second they hit Florida, they're like.
when Kovacevic comes back from the IR, that should help the defense a little bit.
I like Kovacevic, because do you remember that one, like, Jersey? It was like the Jersey Shore, like, week, and like, there was like, the video of, like, Kovacevic. Sorry, really unrelated.
But yeah, when he comes back, that should make things a little bit better. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Siegenthaler and Kovacevic playing with each other last year.
Player. Wasn't he supposed to be the 7th D?
Yeah, he was supposed to be seventh, but then
he was good for
turned out he was a top four D-man.
Just a solid shutdown D-man.
Yeah. He played very, very well last year, but he did get banged up at the end of the year, so he's going to start injured. Stefan Nason also got injured during the summer, so that's kind of an issue. He, injured himself and then re-injured it during the summer. So now, like, it says he's day-to-day, according to my information. I don't know how legit that is, but, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't expect him to be totally on top of his game, because he's probably missing preseason time here. And he kind of took a step back last year anyway.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to wind up being like the guy on the outside looking in to the top six. Outside looking into the top six is my best guess. Maybe he gets into that third line, like, if Andre Palat plays really bad and, like, needs to go. They, like, buy out Andre Palat, because it's getting close.
Yeah.
It's getting really close to a buyout. But, yeah, just need to stay healthy. A lot of new faces coming in, but not, like, big splash. So a lot of what I've seen, like, in Devils previews has been, like, they're effectively running it back. I don't think that's the case. Like, it's not really a run back. It's a majority same team. But I think they have enough injection of, like, new talent, new faces, and youth because of Gritsyuk.
Yeah.
I think they will put something together this year, as long as they don't go on vacation over Christmas. And they just need to, they need to not take their foot off the gas. All I saw last year was, like, playing in Sheldon Keefe's system, which he's now at a full year to implement. They played really, really fast, scored a lot of goals. I mean, they scored like 7 goals in a game, I think, in a shutout. I think they won like 7-0. I forget who they played, but it was like a 7-0 game. I was like, this is the perfection of the Sheldon Keefe system.
And they like lost.
It's supposed to score all the time and just stay on top of the defense. Do not let them get out of their zone. But then, like, the Devils would take their foot off the gas after they get a couple, which, like, other teams can do because they can harden up on defense, but then the Devils take their foot off the gas and suddenly they're playing on the back foot for like 2 periods, and then they throw the entire game away.
Well, at least they would just take their foot off the gas. Like, we never put our foot on the gas.
Yeah, like, So, like, two different issues with the same result.
You can't quit if you never start, you know? That was kind of the Rangers.
Yeah, so, like,
ridiculous.
The Devils just need to foot on the gas and then foot on the floor after that. Like stay aggressive and score goals. Shoot the puck.
Yeah.
You hear when you watch a Devils game, you can hear the crowd every time somebody touches the puck with a shooting lane. Everybody says shoot.
Oh, it's probably worse at MSG.
They're not wrong. Yeah.
I mean, that's how you play the sport.
The funny thing about like the MSG layout, because you covered a game last year at MSG, yeah. Right? You know how there's like a fan like on where we sit on the bridge, and then like there's like a gap of one seat, and then there's like the fan sit there.
Yeah.
So like sometimes you'll just like have a drunk like fan like on the bridge, and like everyone's typing away, and you're just like that. You got like the shoot fan, and it is so. I think it's like hysterical. A lot of other people are like, "Nah, this is so obnoxious," but I'm like,
it depends on the mood for me. If the Devils are on like a 3-game winning streak and they're not shooting, I'm not gonna tell them to shoot. But if they haven't scored a goal in like 2 games, I'm gonna be like, shoot the puck.
Oh, yeah.
The worst when they're just passing and passing, and then especially on the power play, and then
yeah.
they're just like,
and trying
literally,
to do too
what
much.
Are you doing? Yeah.
They're really just trying to do too much.
I am the most insane couch coach. Like, I am screaming at the TV. Like, just, like, you guys are so pathetic, like, or whatever. Like, pretending I know what I'm talking about, I like, go, like, bloody murder at the TV.
No, oh, I know. Yeah. And it's, like, I'm, like, one move and it would have been different. Or, like, go, like, just skate faster or, like, do something different. But it's, like, I know that they know.
Yeah.
But.
Well, before I let you finish your thoughts on the Devils, I thought of a funny story when we were talking about Switzerland. When I was in Switzerland this summer, Will Cooley still hadn't signed a contract. And I would wake up at like 9 a.m., but it'd be like 3 a.m. here or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And I would just be, I was like on top of a mountain, like crashing out. Like, I was hiking with my family and I was like, just like head in my hands. Like, and then I had people like text me, like, what are you going to do if he like doesn't sign? And I'm like, I don't know. I like thought it was a real possibility when I was literally on Mount Stanzerhorn in the middle of Switzerland next to like Lucerne. I thought Will Cooley was not going to be my hockey team.
I broke down in a TJ Maxx about Chris Kreider. Yeah. So, I get it.
It happens to the best of us. Sorry, Tuck. Any closing thoughts on the Devils?
No, that's pretty much all that. Like, running back Markstrom, obviously, that's a good sign. Markstrom is solid. He was very good last year. Honestly, was in the Vezina conversation for a large part of the season until he went down.
He got hurt, right?
So, everybody gets injured on this team. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, gotta put bubble wrap on these guys.
Yeah,
pretty much at this point. Like, just put some extra tape on. Whatever you gotta do.
They're gonna, like, stay healthy, and then you're just gonna, like, hear an announcement, like, oh, like, Jack Hughes, like, closes the car door on his foot, like, out for, like, 6 to 8 weeks.
It would.
Something.
It would be that. And he would do it trying to grab, like, a pair of clout goggles from, like, the fans who are, like, trying to hand stuff away. They're trying to give him, like, a fat head of Luke Hughes' face or something, and he's just gonna step out of the car and, like, roll his ankle on the step. So,
that's how it goes.
For me, the Devils are like trying to be as realistic as possible, because usually I'm just a very delusional Devils fan.
Yeah.
I have the Devils finishing second in the Metro this year.
Who
and
do
it's
going to
be a very
first?
Competitive Metro. I don't see how anyone beats the Canes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, but like, they are just the Panthers, but in the Metro. It's a nightmare. And so, like, there's no reason why the Canes shouldn't win the division.
I think the question mark with the Canes is their goaltending.
Oh, well, that's every year.
Should probably get to the Islanders.
Right. There's another team in the New York tri-state area.
Lamoriello's gone.
Lamoriello's gone. Matthew Schaefer does not know how to order a bagel. Did you see he ordered a
bacon
egg, and cheese with guacamole?
Yeah, and what else? Wasn't it guac and cream cheese on the bacon?
Honestly,
egg, and cheese?
Honestly, okay,
already cheese, bro.
I don't mind the cream cheese. Like, my freshman year, like every morning, not every morning, like every like Saturday or Sunday morning, I would get like a sausage egg and cheese with like scallion cream cheese.
I was gonna say the opposite. The guacamole was less horrifying to me because, like,
that is disgusting.
No.
Guacamole spread is disgusting to put on a
bagel.
Okay,
spread, like, yes, but, like, avocado on a bacon, egg, and cheese is not, like, that crazy. And I'm thinking, it's almost the same.
If it was avocado, Stefan Rosner would have said it was avocado. He said it was guacamole.
Well, yes, but I'm saying cream cheese and egg.
Imagine
and
it's, like,
egg.
One of those, like, little avocados from Mexico packets, and it's just like, oh, Matthew Shaver's here. Like, on the bagel. That is.
You know what? He's new. He's new to the area. Or
hey, the kid's been through
like,
a lot.
Yeah, he's dealing with a lot. It's fine.
Let him have a little bit of guac on his bagel. With, I think it's okay.
With his story and also how at the World Juniors he crashed into the net and broke his collarbone right away. I liked him back then, so I was like, no, like Schaefer, like can't go down. Like Team Canada's best defenseman going down, and yeah, it was a long recovery for him. But he obviously big story for the Islanders this offseason that he went first overall. Lou Lamoriello is no longer.
Insane that they won the lottery, by the way. I still can't really believe that they
won.
10 best odds to win the first overall pick and you still win it.
But the fact that
they
like,
froze the envelope, guys.
I think it would have been worse if the Rangers had lost to the Islanders one time and then got the first overall pick. Like, they were bad. They're not that bad. Statistics, I get it, but like, some the NHL draft lottery statistics and like, random variability doesn't make sense to me at all.
So
like,
weird.
Yeah,
like, the Islanders, they weren't like middle of the pack. Like,
also, like, objectively, if you're gonna like rig it, you shouldn't rig it for a team that like doesn't even have a radio network. You know, like they go through Hofstra or something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not that it wouldn't be electric if like if the Rangers like ran through like us, that would be sick. But we don't. We have our own radio network.
We also like they don't have radio announcer. The Islanders
not
don't,
anymore.
I will never think that that's acceptable. But
seems like there's a job opening in Long Island.
Yeah, you know what? Like
we're moving to Long Island.
Yeah, we're moving to Elmont. Pack up your bags, fellas.
No, I might.
We're moving to Queens.
Might just commute from New Jersey at that point.
I would rather live in New Jersey than Long Island. Is that a hot take?
How quick from the Lincoln Tunnel to UBS by car, you think?
Depends when you go.
It definitely depends.
It could be very long.
And for
long.
A 7 o'clock game, never. You're never going to get there. I am not I'm not super high on the Islanders this year.
I don't think anyone can be. They stink.
I mean, they pick up Schaefer in the draft, obviously. Jonathan Drouin is here. David Rittich is here.
Here's the thing
outside,
about
like,
Schaefer.
Emil Heinemann, I guess. I'm not super impressed with the additions compared to like losing Mike Riley, losing Noah Dobson over this past offseason.
Islanders fans, this will never make sense to me. They begged and begged and begged for Noah Dobson to be off their team after like one bad season. And Dobson is...
Oh, they also got banged up last year, too.
Well, the team, like, I'm going to sound like a hypocrite saying this. To scapegoat one player when your team's having a bad season, which, yes, I know I did that with Mika. But
except it was, like, it was way more obvious with Mika. Like, it was clear that, like, Mika used to score, like, close to 100 points, and now he's not doing that.
I think it's, like, different on defense, too, because I think it can be sometimes easier to, like, scapegoat defense because ultimately, like, if... the defenders aren't playing well, whatever, but usually that's, like, bad team defense. It's never just, like, two defensemen because there's
like,
five players on the ice.
Their power play was, like, last in the league the entire season.
I don't think they had a stretch where, like, they didn't have, like, a power play goal. Yeah. And however...
They had three of their, like, listed top six defensemen this year are guys who were injured last year.
Yeah.
So their defense was completely gutted for, like, a majority of the year last year. I'm not surprised that it didn't go well last year. I just don't know. This is where the Metro comes in for me because the Metro is so loaded and so competitive. Like even the bottom teams, like the Flyers and even the Penguins, which like weren't super competitive last year.
The Penguins still
at least
Cindy
in
Crosby.
The overall standings. Every time I know from my experience with the Devils, every time the Devils had to play the Penguins or the Flyers, it felt like a playoff game.
Yeah,
they made it so difficult to beat them. Even when they were playing on the road, it was just really, really weird, and I don't know if this Islanders team can, like, really find a way out of the Metro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe a wild card, but even
no
then.
No way.
Even that, like, that's
who's,
my problem.
Who's
even
worse?
Then, the wild card in the East is, like, the way I have it set up, it's going to be loaded with the Senators and Rangers, and, like,
who's going to be worse in the Metro division than the Islanders? Like, realistically.
I think...
like, maybe the Penguins. But
maybe
Penguins
the Penguins.
And I think Penguins and Flyers... actually, no, yeah. Penguins and Flyers for sure, probably.
But the Flyers... the Flyers
and then I
have
think for the Blue
Jamie
Jackets,
Drysdale and Zegras now.
Yeah.
They just don't have goaltending.
I just don't know if they're... I don't know if they're going to, like... I don't know if the cohesion's going to be there this year.
Yeah, but, like,
And also the Blue Jackets are a coin toss for me. So
I think the Blue Jackets are a scary team.
It's crazy that they, like, I know we just talked about this, but, like, when you compare the Sharks and Celebrini and then how bad they were and, like, how...
They had vibes, though.
No, I know. I love the Sharks team. But it's just, like, the Islanders don't feel like they were that bad. And, like, obviously, now they have the first overall pick and it's, like, Matthew Schaefer is going to be on this team. Like, it's just, like, so weird to think about
when
logistically.
When you also look about, like, the lines, like, it's, like, a bunch of, like... A lot of old players, and then a lot of, like, I don't know if it's just, like, Long Island is where dreams go to die, but, like, there's just no, like, names that stand out to me on this roster,
like,
other than Matthew Schaefer, who we have to put, like, an asterisk on because he is a rookie. It's tough to expect him to come in and just be,
season,
like, Victor Hedman.
Assumedly full season of Barzal.
So. Yeah,
but, like, with the Sharks and Celebrini, it was, like, they have a future. Like,
yeah.
Like, infinite.
There's no
right
direction
now.
For the Islanders.
But this team, yeah, it's, like, they're bringing in a first overall pick, and then what's he supposed to do? He's not, like,
that's
there's nowhere to go.
They are always one March or April heater away from the playoffs.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's, like,
exact same spot they're in last year and the
year before
and this year. It is going to be exactly the same.
But the thing, like, I almost feel like, remember when we got Lafreniere, like, we didn't really deserve to get Lafreniere. Like,
yeah.
It was the COVID
That's
year.
That's true.
And so the problem with, like, Laf's development was he was kind of on a team that wasn't, like, in a full rebuild mode. Like, we were kind of at the end of a rebuild. So you have a really good player coming in and a young guy. And, like, what you're supposed to do is put him in, like, the top six. And he's just supposed to figure it out.
Laf
never got put in the top six. He got put in, like, the bottom six. Mm-hmm. So that's where his development stalled. And that's what could, I feel like, happen to Matthew Schaefer.
I could totally see that.
Like, I don't know. Because when you think of defensive prospects that had as much hype, like, I think the only other one you can think of in recent memory is probably Rasmus Dahlin. That had, like, the hype of defensemen of Matthew Schaefer. I mean, Owen Power, maybe. I don't think so. I don't think Schaefer was the unanimous, like, first overall pick, but I think, like, the other options were, like, Hagans, Misa, like, those aren't, don't actually quote me on this, I don't know what Misa plays, but those weren't, like, top-tier defensive prospects. I know Hagans is a center.
That pick would have been too obvious.
Yeah, if the Islanders did that would have...
They needed defense.
Yeah.
They're going to get it out of Schaefer. So.
Schaefer's a good player. The Islanders have to use him correctly. And Islanders fans have to be patient with him. Because if you try and throw this kid into the fire, it's not going to go well. Especially on Long Island. But, Grace, do you have any other quick thoughts on the Islanders?
I would say I was telling Sophia this earlier, just, like, keep expectations moderate, because you can't really put the team in the hands of an 18-year-old. I don't think that's a good thing to do to anybody. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what Barzal gives us, even though he's been talking about, like, I might never fully feel, like, not injured after last year, which is not great to hear. But, you know, I'm just keeping my expectations kind of, it's a little bit different this year. Lamorello's out. I'm interested to see what happens, but, like, I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs. So...
Yeah,
there you go.
I think the Islanders are finishing last in the division easily, so sorry about that. And I'm not that sorry for the abbreviated Islanders segment, but we got a lot of good content of Rangers and Devils. Stay tuned for our conference predictions. Maybe you'll have to tune in next week for that. But for the first episode back of 5-on-3, I would say this went quite well. So for Lydia Perner and my co-host Sophia Smith and Tucker Austin, with Grace McCarron as the producer behind the board, this has been 5-on-3. 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports.